A Midday with Howie Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
Now, financial planning always seems to make people's eyes roll. The young feel they're too young and don't need to start. The older feel it may be too late for them. Justin Goh is Financial Services Manager at Apex, and he helps us debunk some myths surrounding financial planning. And let's zero in on planning for your retirement as well. Justin, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Howie.
Golden years, retirement, right? Let's help define that. These days, it's moving, isn't it? People want to retire earlier. The hope is anyway, fingers crossed.
To define golden years, I would say these days, some people call it retirement years, but it's usually between age 65 for the planning to take place. But some would probably have extended that, you know, go into semi-retirement. Yep. However, it's still good to start early.
Yeah, of course.
When it comes to planning, yeah.
I've heard as soon as you start working,
yes.
If not earlier. So then is the question, is it ever too late to start?
It's actually never too late. Some individuals would consider 40s or 50s too late, but there are still alternatives to it. You know, like for example, some people can tighten their belt, you know, during the later years of their mid career, okay, to actually save more, to try to catch up.
So when you say tighten belt, how? You just eat bread every day? Kind of tightening or what, Justin, are we talking about?
By managing their finances better and also doing regular reviews, from there they can actually find new money.
Okay. I've heard regular reviews should be more than once a year even.
During life stages, usually it's recommended once a year, unless there is actually some life stage change.
Yeah. Like
for example, getting married, you know, changing jobs, having a promotion.
Getting more money, like maybe you start to earn a bit more money.
Yes.
So let's talk about the semi-retirement choice.
All right. Semi-retirement, okay. Recently, I would say government have been trying to encourage people to continue working. I believe that is also so that people don't get into dementia.
Okay.
And some would probably even, rather than physically working, they might actually rent out their home to get extra income during retirement.
Okay.
It's still considered income. So technically speaking, they are still considered so-called self-employed.
Right.
That's why I would consider that as semi-retirement as well.
So you won't necessarily need to be doing a job per
yes.
se, but you are earning some kind of income.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about the home though. With regard to the home, there are things you can do with it later on in life that could help you earn some money, right?
Yes.
So we've talked about the renting out of your place.
Renting out is one of them.
Yeah.
The other would be to actually sell back the lease to the government if they are having a HDB. All right, but there are also concerns about that because you got to decide, you know, how many years to sell back.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the other would be actually to do right sizing, because most people go for like a 4-room or 5-room. So during their retirement years, only the couple.
Once the kids have moved out and everything,
yes.
Is it so, maybe too big for you?
Correct.
Okay.
So they may consider downsizing to a smaller flat. You know, which would actually ease out some cash flow for their retirement.
All of this sounds simple enough. And of course, you need to have a goal when you're retiring or you're planning for your retirement. That sounds simple, but kind of actually there are a lot of things involved, aren't there, Justin?
Yes, yes, yes. So planning for retirement sounds simple. But when it comes to actual calculations, you know, there are factors to consider such as inflation, you know.
5%?
Most of the time, we don't use 5% nowadays. Singapore inflation have gone down to about 2% over.
But those kinds of things you can't predict. Might it be safer to give yourself a bigger buffer?
Being in the first world country,
yeah.
Nowadays, it's different from the third world to first world era.
Yeah.
So inflation should still be considered between the 3% over, you know, a good gauge, a safety net. 5 would be a bit excessive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then other factors would be to consider their lifestyle, you know, during retirement years, or will their children have many grandkids?
Why should the grandkids come into play, though? I got to say, because if your kids have kids, it would be your children's responsibility to take care of them.
Correct. most of them would actually consider that as helping their children ease the burden of taking care of their children, especially nowadays, both parents actually work.
So you've also prompted me to ask this question. Does one think they spend more money or less every month when they retire? Obviously, off the top of one's head, you would think you would spend less.
All right. Most people would think that they spend less.
Yes.
Okay.
That's not true.
In actual fact, let me ask you, do you spend more on weekdays or weekends?
Probably on the weekday, I spend more. Because there's lunch to consider whilst you're at work, there's the transportation to and work, etc.
All right. Actually, for most people, they spend more on weekends.
Oh.
You know, where they bring their family out.
I see.
You know, for good dinners, for movies. Okay, and when
now I sound like a hermit because I usually just stay at home on the weekend. There are people who do that as well, but
yes, most people we meet actually spend more on weekends.
So the trend is usually people spend more on the weekend. Okay,
yes. And so to think about that, when you retire, every day is a weekend.
Oh boy! With that in mind, people need to bear that in mind as well as they're planning for how much they want to spend every month. The lifestyle, as you talked about during retirement, right? What do you suggest, though? Okay, so we have decided we want to retire. We need to plan for it. What do you recommend?
I recommend to start early. Okay, firstly, retirement planning is not just about money. Every individual go through the four pillars of wealth management: protecting their wealth first, then accumulating, followed by preserving. Then the last but not least is to how you're going to distribute your wealth.
We've decided the best time to start is as soon as you can. And a good gauge may be when you actually start working, right? So how would it be different from different stages of life per se? You've just started working.
Different stages. On average, Singaporeans actually live for men would be about age 80. For ladies, it's about 85.
Right.
Okay. Ladies live much longer than men. All right. And I would encourage ladies to do more planning because ladies usually marry an older man.
Okay.
So the last 5 to 10 years, they are usually alone. And I will break it up into four quarters. Okay. The first 20 years that we actually go through, which consists about 7,500 days. Okay. And that will be the study hard, play hard period. So not much planning is done during that stage. But that is the stage where parents actually educate their children to start saving early. All right. Then the next 20 years when they first reach adulthood, you know, starting on a new career, okay, that is the period where although there are a lot of things to juggle with, but there is also a good period to start. You know, start small. You know, at least you are set on the path, you know, of reaching your goals. Then the next stage will be the mid-career where most people have a stable career. That is where most people actually build up most of their wealth for their retirement. Because you only have two quarters, which is 40 years, to plan for the last 20 years of your lifetime.
Yeah.
And that remaining 20 years would may extend, you know, with future medical advancement.
Yeah. So there's a chance you might live till 90 or something.
Yeah, or more.
So let's zero in on the area where we will start to earn the most money. It's your 20s to 30s, right? Where it's called adulthood. You're going to get married maybe, buy a house, car, have kids, etc. What are the things to look out for when you're at this stage when it comes to financial planning? All the
Don't
challenges.
Don't overcommit itself. Because I've seen many individuals overcommitting, you know, because they don't know what is coming up ahead. You know, they are probably still single, you know, when they first started their first planning. All right. And some actually overcommit. You know, leaving them with less alternatives when they actually manage their finances, when you get married, buy a house, have children, you know, that's when your finances start to tighten up.
Yeah.
So I would say if individuals are going through a stressful time during this stage, it's all right because they are not alone. All right, and most people go through this stage as well, and. The other thing would be don't take too much risk, you know, when they don't know what it's all about.
Oh, so the financial literacy is going to come into play too, right? Just don't buy the newest thing just because it's new. Yeah.
Example, some do not know about bitcoins, cryptocurrency, and they actually jump into the market following others. you know, it's still an instrument, you know, that probably some have made good money, you know. However, you know, knowing how it works is actually very important.
Are these tips, though, the same for somebody in a different life stage? So now let's say we're done with starting the family and all that. We're down to mid-career, 40s and 50s. Kids are going to school, etc. But parents are getting older, maybe. So maybe that has to come into play.
Individuals will probably see a decline or a plateau of their savings, you know, where they are actually squeezed in between, where children are not old enough yet. And parents are getting old.
Yeah.
You know, so they have to take care of the one above and the one below. You know, so that is also a period where some would consider tightening up their finances, knowing where their money is going to, you know, how much are the, or how hard the money is working for them.
Mm.
Yeah, that would probably be a good factor to consider.
General tips, let's say, that can encompass all stages of one's life whilst they're planning for retirement?
I would say first is to get the financial plan done, you know.
And again, we talked about how it's not as simple as one might think, right? Save more than you spend, full stop, not
yes,
quite.
It's not just about buying a policy.
Yeah.
You know, when I talk about financial plan, it's a lot of numbers where we do needs analysis, we get the goal set, you know, we know what our money is doing for us. All right, and usually a report like that would be about 60 pages long.
Yikes.
And it will actually take us about probably 2 or 3 meetings to gather all the info.
And then you need to review it on a regular basis.
Yes.
So we talked about how once a year may be sufficient.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other would be to consider understanding the money. It means men at work, money at work. You know, because there are a lot of people who are busy working.
Yes.
Not knowing how their money is actually working for them. All right. And so that will actually place a very big factor on their retirement. I would say the biggest factor.
Couldn't you just sort of find a trusted financial planner? Justin, I'm entrusting my money to you. Help me out. And then full stop. Because after all, you're the expert. There's only so much financial knowledge a layperson can accumulate.
Yep, I would encourage everyone to actually speak to a wealth planner. Okay, because it's not just about buying products. Because products are so well crafted nowadays, you know, and there are so many products in the market. Okay, so I would say back to the simple terms of understanding. So example, if we were to save, have a saving of like 10,000,
yeah.
Okay, and we save it in the bank, in the normal savings account at 0.05%.
Pretty low.
All right, which a lot of people still do so.
Yeah. It's better than the Milo Kong under the bed, Justin.
It's
we
about
have
the
moved.
Same.
Okay.
It's about the same. Because imagine if you were to start saving that money when you are about in your 20s.
Yeah.
Okay, and you save it for 40 years. Just leave the 10,000 there.
Yeah.
You know, make a guess. You know, how much interest would you have?
Oh, I failed mathematics in school, Justin. I can't do that kind of math. So it's 0.05%, $10,000, I don't know, $500 something?
It'll be only $200.
Oh, man, okay.
After 40 years.
Right.
That is the interest that you'll get. Just a simple tweak of the interest rate. Let's say if you were to adjust it to 3%,
which is obviously sounds much better.
Easier to achieve. And
yeah.
There are lots of instruments that can do that. Your savings interest will be about 22,000 to 23,000, just the interest itself.
Nice.
So in total, your money will be 300%.
More than just leaving it in the bank, yeah. Right?
And okay. Because of compounding effect over the years. So two factors. One is the rate of return that you'll be looking at. The second factor will be the time horizon, whether you have enough time for it to compound.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even like 5%, that will make your money grow about 70,000.
Nice.
So just 10,000, it becomes 70,000.
Over 40 years, of course, we have
yes.
to say. So of course, as the beginning of the year starts, what do you think were some of the common mistakes made during 2018 in this area of financial planning?
In 2018, for most of the reviews that I've done, most people don't really take into consideration inflation. Yep. So inflation is one of the key factors where they actually lose out when they talk about planning. Because today, we may only require, let's say, 1,000 a month, you know, for expenses. But in the future, which may be like 40 years down the road, the 1,000...
Compounding again, like we talked about,
yes,
right?
Yes, will no longer be that. And right, depending on the future inflation rate as well.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, and I see the Milo tin has made an appearance as well. Keeping too much money in the Milo tin. Talk to us about that.
Because many people only save their money in the bank,
yeah,
in the normal savings account, because we were taught that way, you know, work hard, save hard, you know. But it's different. We are living in a different era nowadays. In the past, in the 1980s, the banks are offering probably about 6 to 8%. So all you have to do is work hard and save hard, you know. But in today's context, it's not as simple as that.
0.05%,
yeah,
right?
Okay. Yeah, 0.05. It's not even
0.5, 1%. Yeah. And of course, the starting too late. We did say that it is never too late to start, but let's start as early as we can, right?
Yes. You may be thinking that individuals starting early, you know, saving little, setting aside little, you know, but the effects of, managing the money well with reasonable interest rate over the years can actually grow them quite a lot. So that is a factor where a lot did not consider, you know, because, example, a student may make some extra income and set aside maybe $100 a month, you know, but to them it's very small. But if you actually put in the factors of the rate of return plus the number of years to grow, the money can be actually
quite a bit at the end of it.
For those who don't understand this theory, they are usually slave to money.
You just think, I exchange time and effort for money instead of making the money work for you as well.
Yes.
Okay. So in 2019, what do you think we should look out for? Of course, let's not make the mistakes of 2018. What else?
All right. I would say one of the key factors that I would like to highlight for everyone that is doing planning this year, we have passed December already. Okay. So we are in the new year. So the first thing that I would encourage everyone to do is open an SRS account.
Okay, so the Supplementary Retirement Scheme account.
Yes.
Okay.
That is actually for tax savings, okay, because currently there is only, based on December 2017, the stats provided by Ministry of Finance, there are only about 140,000 account holders in Singapore, all right? And so we believe that a lot of people don't really understand how the SRS works. Yep, so that is actually one factor that I'll encourage people to do so. All right, and because a lot didn't know, SRS is actually for retirement. So individuals who, let's say, set aside some money for their retirement plan, they can actually do so by putting money into the SRS, which is a bank account. All right, then using SRS money to actually fund the retirement plans that they are getting. So you get tax savings, and on top of that, you get returns from the retirement plans as well. Yeah, so there's one factor, because anyway they wanted to put the money aside for retirement plan. So they might as well do this and they actually get some tax savings.
Justin Goh is Financial Services Manager at Apex. You can check them out, apexpwm.com. That is apexpwm.com. Justin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.